I know some of you in here would not believe this a couple years ago, especially at Gospel Light when it was over on Airport Road, like, whoa, that heathen standing up and preaching now? Say amen, Daddy. Well, thank you so much for inviting me tonight. My family's with me. I know a lot of my family's in here, but I know, you know, a lot of new faces I've seen, but my family's in here as well. My wife, Kelly, my daughter, Lily, Finn is my oldest boy, then Gabe, Grace, Hudson is the one asleep, and then we got Asa. He's back in the nursery tonight, so just wanted to introduce my family to you. But the Lord's been laying on my heart. I've been teaching. I teach the teens at Tabernacle, and the Lord's been laying on my heart about the putting on the whole armor of God. That kind of gives away a little bit my message standing up here. But just thank the Lord for using me. Thank you for my grandma. Yeah. Praying for him. Yeah. Him. Taking me to church. Yeah. I know he's not perfect, but he pointed me in the right direction. Amen. To the Lord. Amen. Got a mom. Wore me out. Tell you something, teens. Let me tell you this right here. You know, we've got the GPS and all these tracking devices now. Back in 1975 when I was born, those doctors put one in me. I'll be in places and I would get a phone call. I was at the bowling alley. I was 19 years old at the bowling alley across the intercom. Shane Hildebrand, it's your mother. 19 years old, what are you, you know, he's like, what? Those places I wasn't supposed to be in. Guess who showed up at the door? Mama. She was there. But thank you, Mama. I love you. Thank the Lord for what he's done. Is this for me? Praise the Lord. I need it. Give you a little testimony before I get into the message, if you don't, that'd be all right. You know, about 2 years ago, you know, our pastor at our church, Bill Adams Jr., the Lord called him to a smaller church up in Tennessee. And that day he came and told me, and on the front porch told me he was leaving. That was a big blow to our family. Great man of God. And I think the Lord for him and what he's done in my life. You know, being my pastor for 9 years. And this one gray hair that popped out right here, that was from him, I believe. But, you know, the Lord called him to that church, and it was pretty tough. You know, I was the only deacon at our church, and a lot of things fell on me that I didn't think I was ready for. The Lord thought I was. But about a month after that, Stephen, I was listening to West Coast Baptist College chapel sermons. Dr. Getch was preaching. And during that message, the Lord called me. I was stuck on the I-77 parking lot about 5 o'clock trying to get home. And that message, I was listening to it. And through that message, the Lord called me to preach. Amen. And I'm like, well, no, not me. Not me. But then again, that still small voice. Yeah. But for a year and a half, I ran. You know, and please don't understand, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back on this at all. I'm not trying to do that. But the Lord did that for a reason. And I believe I missed a blessing from the Lord because of that. My church did. You know, just looking back, you know, what the Lord speaking to me about different things. I just look back to, you know, I missed a blessing from the Lord on that, and my church probably did too. Now, please, don't. I'm not trying to pat myself on the back about that. But I just thought, you know, this is what Satan, this is what I'm talking about tonight in this message. Talking about putting on the helmet of salvation. This is what Satan does. He puts these little things in your head, and he's like, oh, that church is going to think that you want to become their pastor if you're surrendering now. That's what Satan does. I knew they wouldn't. Yeah, I knew they wouldn't. That would have been a mistake. But that's what Satan does. He puts those things in your head to defeat you and to get you off of what you need to be doing. But I thank the Lord, for sending the pastor that we have now. You know, all the way from Michigan. He's from West Virginia, but he went up to Michigan and come down. And I just thank the Lord for him and his family. And but I took over taking the teen group after the youth pastor we had before left, Brother Jamie, and worked with the teens, and we took them to the Hickory, what was the name of it? Metroline Expo had a youth rally up there back 2 months ago in April. And during that message, I was taking the teens up there, and during that second morning, Saturday morning, you know, I've been running from the Lord, and I would go down to the altar and pray, Lord, forgive me for running from you. But that morning, I couldn't get away from it. So I was like, well, if you want to use me, use me. Amen. So I surrendered back in April. And even during that time, you know, of running from the Lord, Satan even got me to doubting my salvation. And I was a counterfeit back in September on my birthday that morning. Satan had me defeated, thinking I was lost and on my way to hell. And just from what the Lord's done in my life, not me, what the Lord's done in my life, I was like, you know, that was just strange, very strange. And that's Satan. He does that. He puts that in there. But that made me, you know, question my salvation. And but after I surrendered, it came clear what was going on, you know. Look what happened to Saul because of his rebellion and what he did. What did he say in there? What did Samuel say to him? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So, witchcraft. In my mind, Satan had a hold of me and had me doubt my own salvation. But surrendered, and this is the second time behind the pulpit for me, so you're in for a treat. We're going to stumble through this. But I was talking to my wife, and about what I had, and really had this is pretty much a lesson, a rollover from the lesson I had from the teen boys. But went in there and I was like, I don't have points. You know, I have these thoughts. She said, well, they're really points. But I'm like, I should have paid more attention. I know you probably went through all that making outlines and in college and stuff, but, you know, I didn't have that. I just got some thoughts. She said, well, that's points. Well, I was like, I should have paid more attention in school. You know, my book reports, you know, my essays and all that kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure I failed them all. But something to break the ice here. I got something that Lily showed me last night. She said, this will be good. So about the English is a crazy language. So follow along with me here as I read this. There is no egg in eggplant or ham in hamburger. Neither apple nor pine in pineapple. English muffins weren't invented in England. Quicksand can't work slowly. Boxing rings are square. And guinea pigs is neither guinea or from New Guinea nor pigs. Why it's that writers write and fingers don't fing. Groceries don't grocer and hammers don't ham. Doesn't seem crazy that you can make amends but not one amend. If teachers talk, why don't preachers prout? If a vegetarian eats vegetables, what does a humanitarian eat? In what other language do people recite at a play and play at a recital? We ship by trucks, but send cargo by ships. We have noses that run and feet that smell. We park in the driveway and drive in a parkway. And how can a slim chance and a fat chance be the same? While a wise man and a wise guy are opposite. You have to marvel at the unique lunacy of the language in which your house can burn up as it burns down, in which you fill in on a form by filling it out, and in which alarm goes off by going on. And in closing, if a father is pop, how come mother is not mop? So, hey, mop. I thought that would be somewhat of an icebreaker for tonight for me getting up here, but thank you, Lily, for giving that to me. But thank you, teens, for the singing. That was a blessing to hear that and to hear what's going on here. The souls being saved, the young men that's trusting the Lord just this past week, today, praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what it's all about. And young men, you know, I just hope with this message, ones that's, you know, if there's the Lord's calling you to something, let go of what it is that it is that's holding you to it and surrender to the Lord and trust Him in it. You'll be blessed. Let me tell you, for a year and a half, I was bitter inside. But that day I surrendered, there was a change. Amen. I slept like a baby. Relationship between me and my wife was better. And it's all because of the Lord. And it's all because of surrendering to Him and let Him take control of your life. Right. And you're not holding on to it. Right. Hey, He's the one that created you. He's the maker. Right. He knows how you operate. He knows how you tick. Amen. He knows what you need in the time that you need it in. Amen. So if there's something, guys, ladies, if the Lord's calling you to it, let go and let Him take control. That's why I didn't do it. For a year and a half, I paid for it. But just thank the Lord for what He's doing here. And I just pray that this will be a help to you tonight. It's been a help to me for the past week and a half, or two, 3 weeks. I've been battling this. We went through biblical masculinity with the teen boys. My wife has biblical femininity for the ladies, and we split up, and I've been going that through the young men. And we came across satanic attack. And I'm like, if we're going to be going about satanic attack, we need to learn how and what we need to do to put on the whole armor of God. So that led me to Ephesians, of course. And let's everyone turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And I thought before they put that up, I knew you teens would probably look at that Ephesians chapter 6 about children obey your parents. Thought I'd probably get on that. But the Lord has us here. And this is what He laid on my heart right after I got off the phone with your pastor. And I was like, Lord, you call me this. What do you want me to preach? And this is what He laid on my heart. And so I'm just trusting in Him on this. So let's start at verse number 10. I'm going to read down to verse number 18, and then we'll get started into this. So, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's schemes and strategies. The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen up here. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Look around to the people left to you, to your left and to your right. You're not wrestling against them. Right. What's going on there? But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. So tonight I'm going to be preaching on the helmet of salvation. Well, I don't call it preaching. This is what this is what I told my church when I got up here. I was like, I don't know about this preaching quite yet. But listen to this, in Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already obtained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend. So that's what we're going to call it tonight, apprehending. I'm not going to call it preaching. We're going to apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So let's just call it apprehending tonight about what I'm about to do here. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him. I need Him tonight to be upon me. Lord, we thank You so much, Lord, for Your goodness. Lord, Your long-suffering. Lord, that You give to us every day. Lord, just thank You, Lord, for dying on the cross and saving us. And Lord, I ask You now, Lord, to be with us, Lord, these next few moments. Lord, I need Your hand upon me. Lord, I do not want to be the cause of quenching what's going on here in this church. Lord, I pray that You fill me with Your Holy Spirit. Lord, be upon me. And Lord, I plead the precious blood of Jesus tonight. In our position at the throne, Lord, that tonight that Satan will not be allowed in here to mess with us, to get into our thoughts, to distract us from what You have from Your word tonight. And Lord, I pray that You'll bless this, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit will breathe upon this church tonight. Lord, fill me, guide my thoughts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. But putting on the whole armor of God. And first thing I want to look at is, let's turn back to the first chapter of Ephesians here. I'm talking about the helmet of salvation. Well, let me do a little bit of visuals real quick. I want to bring this up here and let you look. Just get your mind set on what we're talking about here. You know, this is during the first century. That Rome was pretty high. They was probably top of the food chain at this time. And when Paul's writing this letter, he is writing about the Roman army and their armor that they have on, because they were the elite of the elite at that time, and he's looking at their armor that he's putting on it. So I'm going to look at the helmet of salvation. And if you look at this, this is an actual helmet that they had from back in that time, and they're bronze. And you see that big old spoon shape that's coming off the back. That protects the neck. But then also you got the cheek pieces on it. It's another one. Some different facsimiles of those. And then here we are with it on the men. And you see the cheek pieces on them as well. I like watching fights. And the MMA, I just love watching a good old fight. But, you know, if you're watching fights, you understand that chin, if it's hit, you pretty much lights are out. But back then, the Roman army, they knew that was important. And they put it on to protect them by putting the cheek guards on it and had the helmet there. And you can see the spoon part going off the back of it. That is to protect the back of their head from getting it lopped off when they're fighting. And then pretty much the same thing, you know, as they get higher rank, they have a nice, you know, a little bit more of a headdress on top of it. But the helmet of salvation is what we're going to look at tonight. And just want to let you know that this is not the helmet of salvation from death and hell. We're going to make this clear here, but I just want to get you to understand that this is not what this is about. Because why would we read all that in chapter 6 about putting on the whole armor of God? Well, we already put on the belt of truth. We already put on the breastplate of righteousness. You know, we already got our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then we got the shield of faith. Then why would, you know, Paul be saying, hey, now you need to get saved? No, that's not it. So let's go back and, to make sure of it, let's look at this letter that Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's read the first three verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So I just want to get you to understand, this is not talking about the helmet of salvation. Even over in 1 Thessalonians, I'll just turn over there real quick. You don't have to turn there. But it's talking pretty much about same thing in this verse, but in 1 Thessalonians 5:8, it says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation." So what we're looking at here is the helmet of deliverance. That's what we're talking about, the helmet of deliverance. Deliverance from what? What's the helmet protecting? Teens, I want you to help me out. Can we kind of act like this is like a teen Sunday school class? Can you guys help me out? Can I ask some questions and you answer it? That'd be all right. What do you think that helmet's protecting? The head. What's in the head? Your brain. Your mind. Thank you, young lady. It is deliverance from the mind. Satan is attacking the mind. How do we know this? Let's look back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 1. I do have a lot of Bible verses tonight because we're going to let the Lord speak and not Shane Hildebrand speak. But let's look at chapter 3, verse 1. At the very beginning, when God has made earth perfect, look at this. "Now the serpent, which was subtler than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made, and he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden." Right there, Satan is already attacking Eve in the mind. Over in 2 Corinthians 11:3, you don't have to turn there, but it said, "But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupt from the simplicity that is in Christ." That is exactly what Satan wants to do. He wants you to start questioning the simplicity that's in Christ. It's simple. Trust in the Lord and believe in Christ Jesus and obey the leading of the Holy Spirit. The song, what does it say? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. At home, when there's a relationship between my children, hey, when they obey me, and, you know, they trust me to take care of them and they obey me, that relationship of disobedience is not there. You know, but when they do disobey, it's broken. How much more is that with us, with our Lord? That's all the Lord wants us to do, is just to trust in him. But it's Satan that gets in your head and he said, "Yay, hath God not said?" Huh? You know, even now, it's like, you know, what age are we in? The age of grace. Hey, we live under grace. We're not under the law. We're under grace. So you can do that. Hey, you can go watch those movies. They ain't going to affect you much. Just one movie. You can, you know, you can look at that commercial on the TV. Oh, that's not going to affect you. It'll be over within a minute. Hmm? The songs. Teens, I know when I was your age, it was big time in me. I was in a Christian school singing rap songs. Yeah. So I know what's going on today. It has to be. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's just one song. It's okay. I just got one song saved on there, on my phone, or whatever it is. You know, listen, watching those movies, that's cussing and taking our Lord's name in vain. My God's last name is not damn. He is not. He's my Lord. So if that comes on, it needs to go off. Probably what you need to do is not even watch it at the beginning. If my children can't watch it, I shouldn't watch it. If I can't watch it, you shouldn't watch it. There's no, you know, I'm at a certain level. I can handle that. No, you're not. You cannot handle it. Even watching those vulgar videos, what is it that they watch now? What is it? Vines? Is that what it's called? Vines? Some of that stuff you can watch, and it's kind of funny, but then there's a vulgar one popped in there. Young men, then there's some ladies that are not, well, I don't even want to say ladies, but there's some women in there that's not even dressed right that catches your attention. Oh, that's just one video. I'm good. I can skip on to this. Huh? Satan. trying to get in there. I'm a big, huge, you know, I know you guys sitting down here, and you girls, I know, probably the same way about Captain America, but, you know, the Avengers. I loved that movie. I thought it was awesome. You know, what was it in the first one? You guys understand. I know some of your older people out there are like, oh, yeah, what are you talking about? But tonight's for the teens, right? Amen. You know, in that first one, in the Avengers, after they pick up Loki and they're flying him back, and Thor comes in and he takes Loki and jumps out, and then Iron Man jumps out, goes after it. And what did they say to Captain America? Oh, Captain, I think you want to sit this one out. Those are gods that you're going down there and fighting. And then he said, ah, that ain't God, and I know he don't dress like that. On that pretty much that same lines, I'm like, eh, that's pretty good. You know, stepping up for it. But then, the second one that came out, The Age of Ultron, and probably, I don't know if you guys caught it, but I caught it the second time I watched it. What Ultron goes and he creates that being or that strong guy. And was he stand up when they asked him his name? Anybody know what he said? Anybody? Anybody in here? What did he say? Nobody? He said his name was I Am. Huh? That's dangerous. That's dangerous. We need to stay far, far from that stuff. That's dangerous. It's wrong. Satan gets into your mind. He throws that in there. None of y'all saw that. I saw it the second time. But none of you guys saw that. That's how he does. He puts these little bitty things in there in your subconscious. You know, later it's going to come back to you. But that's how Satan works. We can ask for forgiveness for the things that we've done. Hey, the Lord's going to take it back. You go to him, you ask for forgiveness. You can turn away from that and get away from it. And the Lord will forgive you and help you with that. But once you give in to Satan, he has got you. And he will have something to throw back in your face to keep you in guilt. And to keep you defeated when you turn back to the Lord. The RU, we have the RU ministry at our church. And principle number 3, listen to this. It is easier to keep the heart clean than it is to clean it after it has been defiled. Hey, can we use that with the mind? Can we use that in the head? Same principle, we can use that on it. Proverbs 22:3. Let's turn there. Let's look at that real quick. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. That is not where I'm supposed to be at. Is it? Bear with me here. Oh, yeah, that's the right verse. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. I'm going to turn over here real quick. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs chapter 6, and we're going to look in 27 and 28. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go into hot coals and his feet not be burned? Huh? Best is to stay away from it. It's easier to stay away from it than it is to get cleaned up after you go into it. All right, another question, teens. What are some dangers that affect your mind? You know, what do you think are some dangers that affect your mind? Anybody? TV, yes. Music, yes. What about fear and anxiety? That can really affect the mind. How does fear work? Fear prepares us to react to danger. Once we sense a potential danger, our body releases hormones that slow or shut down functions not needed for survival, such as the digestive system, and sharpen functions that might help us survive, such as your eyesight. Who's ever been in a car wreck? I've been in a couple. You know, that sense that you have when you're in a car wreck, it seems like time just slows down. That is, you're in fear. Your hormones, they kick in. Things are shutting down. Your eyesight picks up, and it seems like everything just slows down. Your blood flow increases. Your muscles, you know, so you can run faster and get away from it. Our body also increases the flow of hormones you know, to the brain, you know, it helps us, you know, store to presenting danger, and it stores that in our memory. For me, fear is what I'm doing right now. When he called me, my mouth is just as dry as it is right now, and I was on the road driving, down from home from work, and my mouth turned immediately dry. You know, that's my fear and anxiety that I have is doing that. You know, for you it might be something else, whatever the fear is. But for me, that's what it is. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a what? Sound mind." Another one, anger. What can anger lead to? Fights, bitterness. And an automatic anger response also leads to health problems. Headaches, digestive imbalance, insomnia, anxiety, depression, high blood pressure, skin problems, including eczema, heart attack, and stroke. James 1:19 says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Ecclesiastes 7:9, "Be not hasty in the spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools." Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon thine anger." Proverbs 16:32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." What's another one? Loneliness. What's going on in a lot of teens today? Loneliness. Depression. They think they're all alone. If you're saved, if you trust in the Lord and you are saved, you are not alone. You need to get that in your heads at your age at this time. Get this in your head. Get it everywhere in you to understand that the Lord is in you. His Holy Spirit is in you right now as we speak. You are not alone. You are not alone. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Psalms 23:4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Deuteronomy 31:6, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God," the Lord thy God, "it is, he it is that doeth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." You can let that loneliness go. You can let that go. You can let that depression go. The Lord is with you. What's another danger you can have? Being double-minded. James 1:8 says, "A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." James 4:8, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Romans 8:5-8, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnally minded is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." 2 Corinthians 10:4-8, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," they are not fleshly, "but mighty," amen, "mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's God's word. That's not me. That is God's word. Satan wants to destroy you. There's things I wish I did not let in. that I'm paying for now. Now is the time, young men and young ladies. Now is the time to put on this helmet of deliverance from the attacks of Satan. He is attacking the mind big time. Look in the Old Testament. What did Satan attack? The deity of God. What did Israelite do? They turned to gods. They started worshiping gods. Look in the gospel. Jesus, what did Satan attack? He attacked Jesus. Tried to tempt him. The Israelites turned away from their Messiah. Right now, when Jesus left, who did he send? The Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Where is Satan attacking now? It's a spiritual warfare that's going on. It's not between us. It's not between you and your parents. It's not between you and your pastor or a youth worker, brother Tony here. It's not with them. It's against Satan. We need to get that helmet of salvation and put it on, that helmet of deliverance from the mind, the attacks that Satan has on it. How can we do that? How can we overcome this attack on the mind? Scripture memory. Right here it is. Scripture meditation. Don't get up in the morning. Just do your little checklist or reading off. Hey, I read my two chapters. I'm good to go. Mm-mm. That's not it. You read. Lord gives you something. Get up. Get up in the morning. Don't be getting up at noontime. I know it's summertime. I have to get up because if I don't get up early, my children are going to be up and they're going to be asking, hey, let me get something fixed, eat. You know, I need to get up early because I have to be at work. I have to leave the house by 7 o'clock. And I got to get up early and do it. You guys can do it too. That is the time. It's the quiet hours of the morning is when you need to get there and get in God's Word, read it, meditate on it, memorize it. Who, Lord, was talking about Dr. Getch, man with West Coast. He memorizes the Bible. He knows how, he said one, like Job, he memorized, is it Job? One of the books of the Bible, one of the longest books of the Bible, he knows it by heart. That's amazing. That's what we need to do. We need to memorize it. How we know that? Joshua 1:8. Turn here. I want you guys to see this. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And then thou shalt have good success. Psalms 1:2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That's how you overcome this attack on your mind. Put on that helmet of salvation. Put on that helmet of deliverance. Meditate. Study God's Word. It's how you're going to overcome Satan. And that's the very next piece of the weaponry or the armor. Is this sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Right there it is. That's our only offensive piece that we've got out of all of it. Most of it's all defensive. This right here is what offensive. This is how we can beat Satan. Memorize it. Put it in your head. So when he's coming, you got it. You're ready to fight him off. Not just always be on defensive. So many going on today is on the defensive. Let's be on the offensive. There's something going on in this church and in this young group, the teen group here. Let's add fire to it. Don't let Satan get in there. If there's something, teens, if there's something that the Lord's dealing with you on, let's get it settled now. Satan's going to keep that up in your head. He can give you victory tonight. He can give you victory right now. There is victory in Jesus. We just got to trust him in it. Get it out of your head. Trust the Lord. I know I don't know why I didn't go through, you know, why the Lord just laid that part on me. You know, why I didn't go through the whole armor of God. But that's what the Lord gave me, was that right there. We need to put that on. We need to protect our minds. In schools, I know you're out of school right now, but what does the school do? They attack the mind. What's the things they teach in there? Huh? What's the Supreme Court try to do? Huh? messing with the mind, saying, oh, this is all right. Man can marry a man. A woman can marry a woman. Satan. Huh? Uh-uh. And what's going on? I thank the Lord for our governor. You know, I'm not trying to be up here and trying to do politics or nothing like that. But what's going on trying to do that? I walked into a restaurant Friday. I had to go down in Charlotte. And I walked in there. And if it wasn't for the big, huge picture of a woman on the door, I would have walked in it because it had woman, man, handicap. On the next one, had a picture of a man eating a piece of pizza. Man, woman, handicap. It's already going on right here. Satan's trying to get in. Oh, it's all right. Media's trying, oh, it's okay. No, it's not okay. That's not the way the Lord laid it out. So we don't need to fall into temptation on that, thinking, oh, it's okay. No, we don't need to do that. But the helmet of salvation, the helmet of deliverance, teens, adults, we need to put that on because Satan is attacking our mind. That's what the Lord gave me. So let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you so much.